All right, let's get started with another deep dive, and today we are heading over to India to explore the coastline.
Oh, yeah.
It's more than just beaches and pretty views, though.
Right.
We're going to be talking about a place where history and religion and culture all kind of come together in these really interesting ways.
Absolutely. And it's huge.
Yeah.
Like, India's coastline stretches over 7,500 kilometers.
Wow.
I mean, to put that in perspective, that's basically going from New York to London and back again.
Oh, wow. That's a trip.
It is. And because it's so big, it's been like a natural hub for trade, maritime trade and cultural exchange.
Okay, so let's back up for a sec.
Okay.
How far back are we talking when we say trade on India's coast?
We're talking millennia,
Oh,
really.
okay.
Like, think about it. Centuries ago, this coastline was already bustling
Wow.
with ships from Mesopotamia, Rome,
Oh, wow.
Laden with spices and textiles and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
It was a melting pot even back then.
That's incredible.
And it wasn't just the stuff. It was the ideas that traveled these routes as
Oh
well.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what about religion then?
Yeah.
How did the coast influence like the spiritual landscape of India?
Well, one of the best examples is the spread of Buddhism, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we have evidence of a particular style of Vishnu image
Okay.
that traveled from India all the way to Southeast Asia through these maritime routes, showing how, Buddhist thought and practice was flowing.
Okay, now for folks who don't know Hindu deities that well,
Sure.
who is Vishnu?
So Vishnu is a major god in Hinduism,
Right.
and he's often seen as like the preserver of the universe.
Okay.
He takes on these different forms or avatars to restore balance
Right.
when things get out of whack. And this particular image would have been super significant in spreading the ideas of Vishnu
I see.
and his role in the cosmos.
So it's like the ships weren't just carrying, spices or fabrics or whatever.
Yeah.
They're carrying like entire belief systems across the ocean. It really shows you how connected everything was back then,
Yeah.
both like physically and spiritually.
It's true.
Okay, so let's move on to another big player in the story of India's coast, the
Okay.
East India Company.
Right.
What can you tell us about them?
So the East India Company is a perfect example of how, like, a seemingly harmless presence
Yeah.
can become something way more powerful.
Okay.
What started as just a small trading operation in the 17th century
Yeah.
ended up controlling tons of land and resources.
Wow.
They didn't just trade.
Right.
They took advantage of rivalries between different Indian kingdoms. They made alliances. They slowly built up a military.
Oh, wow.
And this let them control key ports and trade routes.
Okay.
So basically, they became this dominant force in India.
So they used the coast as like a starting point to take over the whole subcontinent.
Pretty
What
much.
happened after they took over?
Well, their influence had a massive impact on India's coastal regions and its people. They developed ports, they built infrastructure, reorganized trade to fit their interests.
Right.
But this came at a cost.
Oh, yeah.
The British put policies in place that often benefited their own economy while ignoring the needs of Indians.
Yeah, so it sounds like while they might have modernized some things, it was at the expense of the local people.
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
a complicated legacy for sure,
Yeah.
one that continues to shape India.
For sure.
But let's move on from the East India Company for now
Okay.
and dive into a different side of India's coast,
Yeah.
the sacred shores. You know
Right.
those Tirtha sites we talked about earlier? What are they exactly?
So Tirtha refers to these sacred places of pilgrimage,
Okay.
often found on the coast.
Gotcha.
And they're seen as like points of contact between the physical and spiritual realms,
Right.
places where it's believed that the divine is more accessible.
Interesting.
So for Hindus visiting these Tirthas, it's not just a trip, it's
Yeah.
like a transformative
Or.
experience, a way to purify themselves and connect with the divine.
So it's not just about the place itself,
No.
but the meaning behind it.
Yeah,
Okay,
exactly.
you mentioned we're focusing on three specific coastal Tirtha,
Right.
Rameshwaram,
Yeah.
Dwarka, and Puri.
That's right.
What makes them so special?
Each of these places is really connected to ancient Hindu epics.
Okay.
And the stories of these beloved deities,
Got it.
they're not just locations on a map, they're like living embodiments of India's culture,
Yeah.
where faith and myth and history are all woven together.
Okay, let's start with Rameshwaram.
Okay.
What's the story behind that Tirtha?
So Rameshwaram is known for the Ramanathaswamy Temple.
Okay.
It's a super important pilgrimage site for Hindus. And it's directly tied to the Ramayana,
right?
One of the most famous Hindu epics.
Yeah.
It's thought to be the spot where Lord Rama, the hero of the Ramayana,
yeah,
built a bridge to Lanka to rescue his wife Sita from this demon king Ravana.
Oh, wow. It's amazing to think that people have been going to this site for centuries,
yeah,
all based on a story passed down through generations.
It is.
Okay, okay. What about Dwarka?
Okay.
What's its deal?
So Dwarka is believed to be the ancient kingdom of Lord Krishna.
Right.
Another really important deity in Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting here is that Krishna started out as a local god.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a cowherd god.
Okay.
But he was later brought into the Vaishnava tradition as an avatar of Vishnu.
Interesting.
So that makes this coastal city even more religiously significant.
So he went from being a local god to like an embodiment of Vishnu?
Yeah, basically.
That's pretty wild.
It is.
It really shows how Hinduism has changed and mixed different beliefs over time.
Absolutely.
Okay, and finally we have Puri.
Right.
A Tirtha, famous for the Jagannath Temple.
Yeah.
And the Rath Yatra Festival.
Uh-huh.
The Rath Yatra.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
It's like a huge chariot procession, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's this amazing display of faith and community. Okay.
Where these massive chariots carrying images of the deities are pulled through the streets.
Wow.
And millions of pilgrims come every year.
Wow.
The scale and the energy of the festival is unbelievable.
It sounds incredible.
It is.
Okay, so we have these three super important pilgrimage sites.
Yeah.
All on the coast,
yep.
All connected to these epic stories.
Right.
What does that tell us about how India's coast has shaped its spiritual identity?
Well, it tells us that the coast isn't just a physical border.
Okay.
It's this liminal space where humans and the divine kind of meet.
Right.
It's a place of transition, transformation, and deep spiritual meaning.
I see.
For so many Hindus.
But it's not just about religion, though.
No, it's not.
The coast has also seen some pretty intense power struggles.
Right.
And political shifts throughout history.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What kind of power struggles are we talking about?
Well, like we talked about before, the East India Company's arrival on the coast was a turning point.
Their change from a trading company to a ruler
right.
really changed the power dynamics along the coast and in India as a whole.
Okay.
But they weren't the only ones fighting for control.
Right. You mentioned other groups vying for power.
Yeah.
Who else was involved?
So around the 18th century, as the Mughal Empire was declining,
okay.
regional powers like the Marathas started to rise up.
Okay.
And they were amazing naval strategists.
Wow.
They knew how important the coast was. Controlling the ports meant controlling trade resources and ultimately power.
It's interesting how geography can really shape history.
Yeah.
The coast wasn't just a pretty view.
Yeah.
It was something everyone wanted to control.
Totally.
And of course, we know that the British ended up winning in the end.
Yeah.
But their rule had a big impact.
For sure.
And left a lasting legacy on India's coastal communities.
Okay, so let's talk about that legacy.
Okay.
We've already mentioned some of the bad stuff.
Yeah, like exploiting resources and not caring for the locals.
Right.
But did the British do any good things while they were in charge?
That's a great question, and it's one that people debate a lot.
Yeah.
It's true that the British invested in infrastructure along the coast.
Oh.
They built new ports, improved old ones,
okay.
made trade routes more efficient.
Butcher.
So in a way, they modernized the coastal economy and made it a bigger part of the global network.
So even though they were probably just looking out for themselves, their actions did lead to some progress.
They did, but it's really important to remember that this progress came at a high price for Indians.
Right.
British policies often messed with traditional ways of life.
Oh, yeah.
Displaced people.
Uh-huh.
And created economic dependence.
Okay.
That benefited the colonizers way more than the colonized.
Yeah, it's that classic colonialism problem.
Yeah.
A mix of progress and exploitation makes it hard to figure out the overall effect.
Absolutely.
And this complexity didn't go away when India got its independence in 1947.
No.
The effects of colonialism, with its economic structures and social hierarchies, are still affecting how coastal regions are developing.
It's true.
Independent India is faced.
Mm-hmm.
And is still facing the challenge of balancing economic growth with social justice.
That's a tough one.
Making sure everyone benefits from progress.
Yeah.
So even after independence,
right.
the coast was still this place where the past and present were intertwined.
Absolutely.
And where the leftovers of colonialism were shaping the future.
Exactly.
And as India faces the challenges of the 21st century, like climate change and globalization, its coastal regions are going to be super important.
For sure.
Speaking of the 21st century, I'm curious about the future of these sacred shores.
Okay.
What do you think's in store for these places?
Yes.
It means so much to so many people.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think as India keeps developing, these coastal pilgrimage sites are probably going to see way more visitors.
Yeah.
Which could lead to problems with infrastructure.
Right.
Sustainability and preservation.
Makes sense.
The challenge is going to be balancing the needs of religious tourism with keeping these sacred spaces and their heritage safe.
Sounds like a tough balancing act.
Yeah.
Between protecting the sanctity of these sites and accommodating all the pilgrims who want to visit.
It's a conversation that's already happening in India as people try to figure out how to deal with modernization and globalization.
Okay, so we've traveled through centuries of history.
Yeah.
Explored the impact of trade and colonialism.
Uh-huh.
And dug into the spiritual significance of India's coastal Tirtha.
Right.
It's been quite a journey.
It has.
It really shows how India's coastline is more than just a geographical feature.
It's true.
It's a living testament to the country's rich and complex history.
Yeah.
This tapestry woven from trade, religion, power struggles, and cultural exchange.
Beautifully put.
It's a space where the past, present, and future all come together.
Yeah.
Where ancient traditions meet modern aspirations. And as we look ahead, it's interesting to think about how these sacred shores are going to keep changing.
Yeah.
In a world facing all these new challenges.
It's going to be fascinating to see.
You mentioned some of these challenges like climate change and globalization.
Right.
How do you think those things are going to affect India's coastline in the future?
Well, climate change is already a big threat to coastal communities everywhere, and India's no exception.
Right.
Rising sea levels, bigger storm surges, and coastal erosion.
Right.
Those are just some of the things that could affect these sacred shores.
It's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider how important these sites are.
It is.
Culturally and religiously.
Yeah.
What can we do to protect them?
That's the big question.
Yeah.
And it's something policymakers and communities are working on right now.
Okay.
Sustainable development practices. Coastal protection measures.
Uh-huh.
Community-based adaptation strategies.
Right.
All of those things are going to be crucial to reduce the risks from climate change.
Sounds like we need to do a lot of different things.
We do.
Involving everyone from local communities to governments to international organizations.
Absolutely.
And then there's globalization on top of climate change.
Yeah.
That brings both opportunities and challenges.
It does.
For India's coastal regions, more trade and investment can help the economy grow.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure that growth is fair and sustainable.
That's the key.
Yeah. It's about finding that balance between progress and preservation. Taking advantage of globalization.
Yeah.
While still protecting India's unique culture and environment.
That's the goal.
A complicated situation.
It is.
But one that India needs to figure out.
Yeah.
If it wants a good future for its coastal communities and its sacred shores.
Right.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from all this?
I hope they come away with an appreciation for just how multifaceted India's coastline is.
Yeah.
That it's not just beautiful, but this vibrant mix of history, culture, religion, and human effort.
That's true.
And I hope they understand that this coastline, like so many other places in the world, is facing an uncertain future.
Yeah.
One that's going to need us to think carefully and work together to protect its special and precious heritage.
Well said.
Thanks.
It's been really eye-opening.
Yeah.
Exploring the past, present, and potential future of India's amazing coastline.
It has been.
Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive.
You're welcome.
And to our listeners out there, keep exploring.
Keep learning.
Keep learning.
And keep questioning the world around you.
Absolutely.
It's important.
We'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Well, like we were saying, the East India Company being on the coast was a big deal. Going from a trading company to like a ruling power really changed things for the coast and for India overall.
Uh-huh.
But they weren't the only ones who wanted to be in charge.
Right. You mentioned other groups were fighting for power too.
Exactly. So like around the 1700s,
okay,
when the Mughal Empire was getting weaker,
yeah,
You had regional powers like the Marathas starting to become more important.
Right.
And they were really good with naval strategy.
Interesting.
They knew how important the coast was.
Yeah.
If you controlled the ports, you controlled trade, you controlled resources.
Right.
You basically controlled everything.
It's amazing how geography can be so important in history.
Oh, totally.
The coast wasn't just some pretty place.
No.
It was like a key to power.
Absolutely.
And in the end, we know the British took over.
Yeah.
But they had a big impact on things.
They did.
And their rule left a mark on India's coastal communities.
For sure.
Okay, so let's talk about what they left behind. We've talked about some of the bad things.
Right.
Exploiting resources, not really caring about the local people.
Yeah.
But did they do anything good while they were in charge?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And people argue about it a lot.
Well, I bet.
But it's true that the British did put money into building things along the coast.
Like what?
They built new ports.
Okay.
They made the old ports better.
Uh-huh.
And they created more efficient trade routes.
So they kind of modernized the coast in a way.
Yeah, kind of.
And connected it to the global economy.
Exactly.
So even though they might have been mostly looking out for themselves,
right,
they did make some progress.
Yeah, but we can't forget that the progress came at a price for India.
Right.
British policies often disrupted how people lived traditionally, forced people to move, and made them economically dependent.
Right.
Which helped the British way more than it helped Indians.
It's like that classic colonialism problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You get them good with the bad.
It's hard to say what the overall effect was.
Exactly. And all that didn't just disappear when India got its independence in 1947.
Nope.
The effects of colonialism.
Yeah.
Like their economic systems and social structures.
Right.
Are still influencing how coastal regions are developing today.
It's true.
Independent India had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And is still dealing with.
Yeah.
Trying to make economic growth and social justice work together. Making sure everyone benefits.
It's a tough balancing act.
So even after independence,
right,
the coast was still this place where the past and present were all mixed up and where the remnants of colonialism were shaping the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It really is amazing how much history there is in just this one area.
It is.
We've talked about so much in this deep dive.
We have.
From those ancient trade routes and cultural exchanges to empires rising and falling and the spiritual importance of those Tirtha on the coast.
It's a lot to take in.
It's clear that India's coastline is more than just geography. It's like this living, breathing thing that shaped India's destiny.
That's a great way to put it.
And it still is shaping it.
Yeah.
It's where the past, present, and future all meet.
Mm.
Where old traditions run into modern goals.
I like that.
And looking ahead, it's so interesting to think about how these sacred shores will change as the world faces all these new challenges.
Definitely.
You mentioned some of them before, like climate change and globalization.
Uh-huh.
How do you think those are going to affect India's coastline down the road?
Well, climate change is already a big problem for coastal communities all over the world.
Mm.
And India is no different.
Right.
Things like rising sea levels, more intense storms, and erosion.
Yeah.
They're all going to have an impact on these sacred shores.
That's a scary thought.
It is.
Especially when you think about how important these places are to people.
Yeah, it's a serious issue.
So what can we do to protect them?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's something that people in government and local communities are trying to figure out right now.
Yeah.
Things like sustainable development, protecting the coasts,
right,
and helping communities adapt.
Gotcha.
Those are all going to be really important for reducing the risk from climate change.
Sounds like we need a lot of different approaches.
We do.
And we need everyone involved.
Right.
From the people living there to the governments to international groups.
It's going to take a global effort.
And then on top of climate change, there's globalization.
Yeah.
It brings good things and bad things.
It does.
The India's coasts.
That's true.
More trade and investment can be good for the economy.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure that growth is fair.
Uh-huh.
And doesn't destroy the environment.
Absolutely.
It's about finding that balance.
Yeah.
Between making progress and preserving what's special. Using globalization to our advantage.
Right.
But also protecting India's unique culture and environment.
That's the ultimate goal.
It's a difficult problem.
It is.
But it's one that India has to solve if they want a good future for the people who live on the coast.
Right.
And for those sacred shores.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay,
what's the one thing you really want our listeners to remember
I hope they realize just how many sides there are to India's coastline.
Yeah.
It's not just a pretty place.
Right.
It's this amazing mix of history, culture, religion, and what people have done there. And I hope they understand that this coastline,
Yeah.
like a lot of other places around the world, is facing a really uncertain future.
Right.
And it's going to take all of us thinking carefully and working together
Right.
to protect this special and precious part of the world.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
It's been an amazing journey
Yeah, it has, Kara.
exploring the past, present, and future of India's incredible coastline.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here with us for this deep dive.
You're welcome.
And to all our listeners out there,
Yeah.
keep exploring,
Keep learning
keep learning.
and keep asking questions about the world around you because
Exactly.
it's so important.
We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.